This evening we are blessed with the presence of Reverend Father Aju Philip Matthews. Hudson is presently serving as the Assistant Vicar of St. Mary's Orthodox Cathedral in Philadelphia and is a very familiar face to all of us. And at this time, I invite Hudson to lead us in the devotional message for this evening.
Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words and fill us with the understanding of your holy gospel, the richness of your divine gifts and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. This evening I would like to read from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. If you have your Bible, you may open to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. Once again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But then that which is perfect has come. Then that which is in part will be done away. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, I praise God for this opportunity to say a few words to you. And this evening I've chosen this passage from 1 Corinthians, which is not an unfamiliar passage to anyone by any means. In fact, you might think, why choose such a passage on this day? Is it tied to the Feast of the Wedding at Cana on Sunday? Because in our country and in our culture, when we think of weddings, we, of course, hopefully think of love. And what better passage to speak on love but this one? Many a times I can remember that couples who are preparing for the feast or for their own wedding service have asked if we can replace Psalm 51, which is the penitential psalm, with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And that request comes from a misunderstanding of the passage itself and a misunderstanding of what our wedding service is. However, the wedding service is not why this passage was chosen this evening. Rather, the feast of Shubkona, which is the service of forgiveness, has its epistle reading taken from this passage. And you might ask yourself, well, this service of Shubkona is something that we haven't seen, or it's not something that we see too often. And I remind you that the Great Lent begins and ends with the service of forgiveness. And it's a short service, but the service is very beautiful and meaningful for those who do conduct it and those who partake in it. And the epistle reading is taken from 1 Corinthians, which is very unusual, because you would not associate the service of forgiveness with this reading about love. And yet we learn from the scriptures and from our liturgy that, in fact, the two go hand in hand. We know that without true love, our forgiveness is pretty empty. It's something that is shallow. And without true love, we can never truly forgive anyone. Why? Because love is all of the things that St. Paul says it is. It doesn't remember the faults of others. It does not boast the way humans boast. Love is not something that is easily provoked or thinks evil, as St. Paul says. And in order to truly, truly experience the joy and the fullness of love, we must be willing to forgive. And throughout all of our worship services, throughout our divine liturgy, we have these moments in which we take time to forgive one another and to accept apologies from one another. We remember many times throughout the Holy Qurbana that the priest turns to the congregation with his hands outstretched and asks not just prayers from the congregation, but rather also forgiveness from the congregation for any sins, that God might forgive him and accept his service. And the passage from the scripture that really touches my heart, brothers and sisters, when it comes to forgiveness and love is the story of the prodigal son, which is taken from St. Luke chapter 15. St. Luke chapter 15. And in that particular passage, we have a very familiar story that we teach all of our Sunday school children, but how much do we really understand it? And I know that I've spoken at many retreats concerning this, especially as we prepare for confession. And as you prepare for this year's Great Lent, I want you to understand this, that the reason we live and move and have our being is that we are in Christ. And the reason that we remain in Christ is because he came after us. And we know that regardless of all the mistakes that we make, that if we truly come to him in repentance and we beg of him forgiveness, because he is merciful, because he is love, he will forgive us and we remain in him. And so I want us to understand what the story of the prodigal son really means. We know the story is of a father who has two sons, and the younger of the two sons wants the portion that falls to him. And so the father, it doesn't even say that he is willing or unwilling, he gives to the younger son what belongs to him. And all the scripture says is, the younger son gathered everything together and left to a faraway country, and he wasted his possession. And there we know that when he got to the bottom of his life, finding himself in a pigsty eating food with swine, which in that community is considered the worst of animals, the lowest of animals, the filthiest of animals, at that moment he turned and he began to think. He began to become introspective, which is the first step of reconciliation. He began to think of his life and think about what he had and what he had lost to get his way. And he decided to go back to make amends. And he remembered the love of his father. And so when he thought about this, he said, I will go to my father and I will say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And that we are, that he is not worthy to be called your son. So what becomes very clear here is this love and what he misses about that loving relationship is what drives him back to even beg for forgiveness. And then the greatest part of the story is when the son decides to do this, he travels back to his father's house, and even as the father sees him, and the scripture is very clear in saying that even when the son was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son began to say the whole speech that he had prepared, and the father probably didn't even hear it. All he heard saw was his son who had returned to him, and we know that the father celebrates the return of the prodigal son. But the power of this passage lies in the fact that it was the father's great love for his son that caused him to make the effort and run out and meet his son who was coming back. He didn't run up to him and say, "Where were you? What were you doing?" He doesn't wait where he was and wait for the son to approach him and to scold him for leaving, the way that I think that many of our own parents have done to us in the past. But he ran to him, and that love that he had for his son and the love that the son had for his father brought them together in a moment of reconciliation, which should be the basis of our experience during this great Lent. When we go to confess, when we go to fast, when we go to pray during this great Lent, we have to truly ask ourselves, the things we are doing, the actions that we are going through, even the sacrament of confession that we are going through, is it because we truly have love for the people? Do we truly have love for God? Do we truly have love for ourselves that we are willing to come to terms with the sins that we have committed against ourselves, the private sins, the secret sins? Because if we don't love ourselves, then we cannot confess those sins. If we do not love God, we cannot confess before Him and be sincere. And ultimately, as you will learn, hopefully, through your confession, Father, the sins that you have committed against other people, if you do not love them, you cannot make amends for them. Because hopefully your confession, Father, will say, if you are fighting with your parents, you need to go fix the problem with your parents. Go ask them for forgiveness. If you are fighting with your brothers and sisters or your neighbors, you need to go to them and ask them for forgiveness and reconcile yourself. That is also what we read in the Gospel of St. Matthew. If you know that someone has a problem with you, go first, reconcile yourself to that person, then return to the altar and place your gift. And that's what I remind you as we prepare to enter the Great Lent next week. The feast of the wedding at Cana is, of course, important. It's celebration and the performance of Christ's first miracle. But after that, the service that begins the Great Lent, which is the service of Shav Kodesh, where the priest asks forgiveness from the people, and the people ask forgiveness from the priest, and they both embrace each other in that love and forgiveness which are forever bonded together. It is through those things that our fasting and our prayers become fruitful and beneficial. I wish and pray that God will bless you during this great fast, that He will strengthen you to change your lives, to make amends, and to truly love one another, and to truly forgive one another. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for His living words to us. Unto His Father who sent Him for our salvation, and to His living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.